I'm Gene Kansas. You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. We explore the cultural and physical development of life in the modern city through the lens of history and the context of community. Today's show, Ansley Park, brought to you by Perkins & Will and Hirsch Bednar Associates. My guests today are Marsha Weber of Marsha Weber Gardens to Love, Jason Ward, a member of the Atlanta Audubon Society and the number two birder in Fulton County, and historian and longtime Ansley Park resident, Kevin Grady. One of the more curious things about Ansley Park is that it's not named after a park at all. There are, of course, a smattering of what's called pocket parks, but for a neighborhood that's named after a park, without a park, parks factor in really quite heavily. You take a listen and decide.
Okay, well, I'm Kevin Grady. I've lived in Ansley Park in Atlanta since 1985. I practiced law for 34 years with Alston & Byrd, retired when I turned the age of 60, went back to school, got my master's in history at Georgia State, and now I'm in the PhD program in history at Georgia State.
What was Ansley Park like in 1985 when you moved there?
Not that much different from what it is now. The neighborhood was basically solid. It had gone through a period where there was a real risk that Ansley Park would be lost to commercialization, and that was in the 1960s and early 70s. The Neighborhood Association formed in the mid-1960s. The Neighborhood Association, under the guidance of Leon Eplin, who was a major city planner, developed a neighborhood plan, which surprisingly was the first neighborhood plan in the U.S. and has become the template for other neighborhood plans throughout the U.S.
For those who have not been to Ansley Park, maybe you can help articulate what this street, what this neighborhood looks like today to help put it in context.
Okay. Well, what Ansley Park looks like today is a result of its original creation. And Ansley Park was the first neighborhood development in Atlanta, just north of the downtown area, that was automobile friendly. All the other neighborhoods in Atlanta, Candler Park, Inman Park, West End, had all been the result of streetcar developers. And they developed their neighborhoods with the streetcars in order to basically sell the land and to have business for their streetcars. When Ansley was developed in 1904, it was nothing but rolling farmland until that time.
And sorry, just to let people know the way that in Atlanta developed from south to north, the city started downtown, it's called Five Points, and goes north, really following the linear progression of Peachtree. Mm-hmm. And so this part of town, which is Midtown area today, would have been the outskirts of the city, right?
Oh, it was, yeah, definitely outside the city. In fact, the trolley cars didn't go as far as Ansley Park. The idea was in 1904, you had the automobile just coming on the scene. The only ones who could really afford automobiles were very wealthy people. And so consequently, when Ed Ansley sold the lots or auctioned the lots, it was basically to your more well-to-do individuals. And the idea was to have winding roads, wide winding roads where people could drive their automobiles or their horse and buggy. And there was no grid at all. There's no corner of any street in Ansley Park. And we kid about the fact that it is so convoluted that when people get lost in Ansley Park, if they're not familiar with the roads, and if you go out walking in Ansley Park, you inevitably get stopped by someone asking for directions about where to go. But the joke at Ansley is that if General Sherman would have had to march his troops through Ansley Park, he never would have made it out to Savannah. They'd still be bumping into each other in Ansley Park. They wouldn't be able to find their way out.
Was by design.
Yeah, it was by design, not to thwart General Sherman if he ever came back, but to have a leisurely country-like feeling in the city.
And it was part of the Garden City movement. It still, to this day, you do not feel like you're in the city.
No.
But you turn around and look, and peering above the trees are skyscrapers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to kid about the fact when our boys were young, our office was in One Atlantic Center, which is on West Peachtree Street, and it's 50 stories high. And my office was up on the, 45th, 46th floor, something like that. And Mary Beth would call me during the day, and the boys would be on the, be on the speakerphone. And I'd say, okay, guys, I'm looking down at you. And they'd run to the window and wave up at the building and so forth. And it was, it was kind of neat to be able to say that you were within a 13-minute walk to your office from home.
Can you tell us about one or two of the most historic either homes or elements of the neighborhood and something that people should be on the lookout for when they visit?
The charm of Ainslie is its distinctive architecture. And in fact, the neighborhood, the Neighborhood Association for the last several years has given an award to the best development or redevelopment of historic homes. Because what we want to do is emphasize to people, both outside the neighborhood as well as inside the neighborhood, that it's important to preserve what you have, to enhance it. Don't destroy it. Don't all of a sudden turn your back on the history of this organization, the history of the neighborhood, because you're turning your back on the history of people who've lived here for all these years.
Yeah.
I mean, like in our home, I think we've only had four families who ever owned our house over 100 years now, which is, something to be mindful of. At least I'm mindful of it when I think about it.
I'm Marcia Weber. I own a company, Marcia Weber Gardens to Love. It's a landscape services company.
When did you start the company, and why did you start the company?
I started the company because I had no other choice. It was a long time ago, 1978. I, at the time, had been working for the largest landscape contractor in Atlanta, Alfred L. Simpson. There was a commercial real estate downturn at the end of the 70s. There was also a business downturn around that, a landscape business downturn, and I either could take a 30% cut in pay from my $3.25 per hour that I was making, or I could do it on my own. So that's what we did.
So you started the company, mm-hmm. and did it start with a plan, or did it start with a project?
The plan was to make enough money to cover my expenses. That was the plan. And no, there wasn't a project. The projects came. People followed me. I was really fortunate.
And let's tell people about some of what you all do today.
Today we do everything that has to do with landscape services. We design gardens. We design gardens. We design landscapes. Big and small. We just got a big 100-acre piece of property south of town to develop and design and then develop. We go from design to installation of gardens, and then we follow on with upkeep.
And when we're talking about landscape design, context is important. I guess so, same design with your garden. But
it is. It is. It is. I like to design for Atlanta. We live in a southeastern deciduous forest, and if we try to design against that using lots of gravel from places that is not from the southeast, using lots of plants that are from the west coast instead of from the south, we end up with a product that is more exotic rather than long term, and I like to work toward the long term.
And so when you're working in an area like Ainslie Park, which is the focus of this month's episode, what do you take into consideration, both through landscape and in the design of private gardens?
Number one, it's how people live. And that's the first thing that I take into consideration, how they live. Do they have small children? Do they have dogs, cats? How do they move through their garden? Is it easy for them to get through their garden? And then second off, I think about the surrounding pieces, where the house is set, the shade, the lack of shade, and always in Ainslie Park, and always in Atlanta there are grade changes. We never have a flat garden in Ansley Park or in Atlanta.
What else in the way of flora, fauna, and other will people see when they visit Ansley for this tour of homes?
That's a good question. If they stop and wander through them, they'll also get to experience the personality of each park. I'm kind of knocked out by, years ago somebody told me that McClatchy Park is the park for the little children. And then Wynn Park is the park for the big children. And then there's the Dell, which runs between Barksdale and Park Lane. And that seems to be more of a place where people go with their dogs. And again, it's more of an adult place. And then now we have Eubanks Park, which runs along the little stream there between Barksdale and the Prado. And Eubanks seems to be the place where adults go alone. And that is, it seems that they're there to sort of observe, do bird watching. It's a great place for bird watching.
Yeah, the red-tailed hawk, red-shouldered hawk, Cooper's hawk as well. And now that wintertime is approaching, we have some sharp-shinned hawks as well. You'll find blue jays, crows, all different types of sparrows. So Ansley Park can definitely get the same amount of diversity that Piedmont can.
Our listeners don't know who you are yet, so let's tell them.
My name is Jason Ward. I am, I guess, a number of things, but mostly I am a birder for the Atlanta Audubon Society. I am originally from the Bronx, New York, and I now live in Buckhead.
You're not just a birder.
No, not at all.
You're also one of the best birders in Georgia. And I know you're a humble guy, but let's tell people really about that.
Currently, I am ranked second in Atlanta, Fulton County specifically, when it comes to birds.
Ansley, we had the chance to go on a walk there together. That neighborhood and many, many other neighborhoods around the country and world were part of an urban planning movement called the Garden City Movement. It was really started with this idea of, like, let's get out of the city and go to nature. What ended up happening was sprawl in suburbs as that movement deteriorated. But in some cases, like Inman Park here, Ansley Park, and other neighborhoods, you do have this separation from the city and traffic, and you do create these nice places for birding, for looking at architecture. And that's the other reason I want to have you, is just to say, look, go, you know, to work together to say to young people in our city, go out there and walk around the neighborhoods, you know, experience nature, enjoy the architecture. It's more than just like some house to live in. And what do you want to continue to do birding in the manner in which you do, or do you have some goals and dreams personally within that field?
Most definitely. I definitely do. Birding is something that I absolutely love doing. But more than that, my goal, my ultimate goal, is to be to other kids and to specifically, not to single a people out, but especially towards young minorities, to be what, I guess this is kind of crazy, what Bill Nye was to me growing up. Growing up, I used to watch a lot of PBS, and Bill Nye the Science Guy, that show came on often, and I, still to this day, he is probably my hero. I want to be that, or something of that nature to young minorities growing up. Growing up, we tend to gravitate toward people and images that we can relate to. And that is why in the inner city, nature isn't necessarily popular. Because when we turn on Animal Planet and we turn on Nat Geo and channels like that, we don't see images that we can relate to. So I want to be that. I want to be that trailblazer that lets these kids know, you can do this as well. This is cool. This is fun. You'll thoroughly enjoy this. Join me. That's what I want to be for them.
I'd like to thank my guests today, Marsha Weber, Jason Ward, and Kevin Grady. Of course, I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Perkins & Will and Hirsch Bednar Associates. As a special treat, check out Eclectic Ansley as part of the 2014 Ansley Park Tour of Homes, starting October 18th through the 19th. The tour is going to feature 8 homes and highlight wonderful diversity in architecture, decor, and of course, Ansley Park. Check it out. We'll see you next month.